I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.
Fulfilling my own destiny. Oh yeah, we're definitely doing that these days. Welcome to Purpose Talk Radio. Today is Monday, January 27th, 2014. And I wish you all a good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in this great, big, vast world of ours. I hope you are all staying warm. That's pretty much at least all of the United States and maybe even all over the world. It's a little bit colder than we expect, whether it be global warming or just the life and times that we're in, we don't know. And it really doesn't make a difference. It just means that we have to bundle up a little more and protect plants and animals and ourselves as we go out. So make sure you're doing that. And the other thing is just a note on, I don't know, what do they say, customer service or consumer awareness here. A lot of us don't drink much water when we have this cold because we think we don't need it. And actually our body needs just as much water during that time. And, you know, if you tend to have chapped hands, chapped lips and things like that, that's an indication that we don't have enough water in our system. And that's one of the things that, you know, I suffer from too, or enough fluids in general. They also have a report out recently that drinking coffee is actually just as advantageous to our body as drinking water. So, you know, I'm very happy with that because I'm not much of a water drinker myself. But anyway, today we are going to be talking to Krista Bell, and our topic is Follow Your Muse and Find Your Purpose. Before I bring her on, though, I would like to let you know that the song that you heard before was by True Trinity, and that's called I Am Who I Am, and that's the trio of Rachel Martinez, Jillian Clark, and myself, and it's being sung by Jillian. You can find them at truetrinity.com, as I've mentioned. Also, we have a website for Purpose Talk Radio, and we have a Facebook page. So the Facebook page is being PurposeTalkRadio.com. The website, I'm sorry, the Facebook page being Purpose Talk Radio. The website being PurposeTalkRadio.com. On our website, you will find information about upcoming guests, past guests, and the archives of our shows. And that is, you know, our resource page for you. It also gives you an opportunity to sponsor or donate to the show if you'd like to help there as well to keep us on the air. The other piece of information I'd like to pass to you is that we have two different opportunities to chat with us. Actually, there's three today. And always, the first one is on Blog Talk Radio, / Purpose Talk Radio, where many of you have found us. The chat room is open on the Blog Talk, and I see we have one guest who shows up there. Hopefully, folks, you will sign in with a name because I'd like to know who you are and be able to greet you personally over there. Feel free to post in there, comment, or whatever. And then the other one would be at Purpose Talk Radio Conversations on Facebook. And over there, that conversation, that discussion goes on throughout the week. As I can, I will be posting some of the pertinent points that Krista brings up during the day over on Purpose Talk Radio Conversations. I'll try to put some stuff in the chat room also and check in with you there. The other thing, there's two other ways, and that would be if you'd like to speak to Krista or myself while we are on the air, you can do so by calling us at 347-9074. Again, that number's 347-205-9074. If you are trying to get to us on Skype, the icon does show up right next to the phone number on the Blog Talk Radio page for this show. You click on Skype, and it will take you through the steps to be able to call in. And in both cases, whether it's Skype or phone, if you press the 1 on your keypad, you will get in the host queue. If you don't have your hand up, I don't guarantee that I will be knowing that you want to talk. However, if you don't have your hand up, I may check with you anyway just to make sure if we have the time. So, having said that, I'm going to greet Krista Bell and bring her onto the air. Hi, Krista.
Hello. How are you, Cindy?
I'm doing wonderfully. How are you?
Oh, I'm excited to be on your show. I very much enjoy listening to the, I listen to many of the archives events, and I really get a lot of inspiration and motivation from your show. I appreciate it.
Glad to hear it. And you motivate a lot of people, which we'll get into with all of the things that you do and inviting people to be their better muse and participate in some of the activities that you have. So we're looking forward to chatting about that. What part of the country are you in, Krista?
I'm sorry?
Where do you live? What part of the country are you in?
I live in northern Idaho.
Okay, so you get some of this cold air, too, over by you, huh?
I do. Cold air and snow. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. So we're probably pretty much in the same boat as I'm in Wisconsin, so. Okay. Well, I'd like to tell the folks that you are the creator of Krista Bell Newsletter, which is a magazine. You inspire writers, photographers, artists, and just good-natured businesses to create their influence. The magazine is published with genius ideas from all over the globe, and your personal passion is for people to become, for the magazine to become a platform for all ages to share their unique purpose in the minds of humanity. Short, sweet, and simple. However, that does not tell us a lot about you, just what you're doing right now. So what I tend to ask all of our guests is, how did you come to know that was your passion? What brought you to this point?
Well,
now?
It all started when I was a little girl. My mom and I played a lot of rhyming games and a lot of syllable games. And so I just loved those games. They made me the most excited. I could play math games, and I would just do the game and get it out of my way. But when it came to rhyming or syllables, or anything to do with writing, I would just jump up and down, and I was very inspired and excited. And then when I was about 14 years old, my grandfather passed away. And the way I dealt with that was I started writing. My very first poem had a line in it that was, in this heart as hard as wood, there is a hole where you once stood. And so I started sharing my poetry with my mom, and she loved it. Even the pieces that weren't very good, she would still find this piece, that one thing that she really, really liked about it, and always find a compliment, no matter the quality of the poem, she could find a compliment. And she would challenge me to write about smells, like write about popcorn and make sure you get the smell of the popcorn, the sound of the butter sizzling. And so I took the challenges, and it really inspired me to keep writing. And from there, I wrote this poem I'd like to share with you called Journey. I stroll through my backyard into the wilderness so far. I see a treehouse already made, and I stand there in its cool shade. The boughs are sharply carved to the very sharpest point. I begin to climb from joint to joint. I finally get up to the top, and I slip through a crooked slot. I see no furniture, no outlet, just a crushed red carpet. The masterpiece shakes and I fall to the floor. I crawl to the edge and notice that the ground is moving farther away from me. I look up into the air, and two black holes suck me up by the hair. I was a bug, on a rose. Now I'm a bug up a nose.
I didn't see that end coming. Not at all.
No. My very first shock poetry. That was my fad when I was 14, 15, was shock poetry.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, that sounds so nice. And I'm like, oh, no, bug up the nose. Oh, no.
This is a whole poem.
So, but very good, yes. It catches people off guard. So do you still write that kind of poetry, or is it? Do you write prose or just poetry, or where does your interest lie?
Right now my poetry is meditations. I like to meditate and then come out of my imagination and write whatever come out of my imagination. And that's where I'm at right now with my writing, along with writing ads and compliments to all the wonderful people in the Muse. I think that's my favorite thing to do, is to compliment all the people that we that are part of the Muse.
Mm-hmm.
And so from there, I started entering these contests. And the very first contest I entered, it was a free contest to enter, and I won. And they were going to publish me in their book, but I had to give away the rights to my work. So I could never publish the poem ever again. I'm not able to read it to you guys today. It's in that book, and it's no longer mine.
Mm.
And so then, to guarantee my publishing, I had to buy the book, which was $100, which was a big deal for a 14-year-old girl. That's a lot of money to spend on...
Right.
On a book. But my mom did it for me, and she bought the book. And as soon as I got the book, I turned to page 192, opened it up, and there was my poem along with eight other people on that spread. And I just felt like, you know, nobody's really reading this poem. The only people getting these books are the people who are in the books, and they're doing just like me. They're running to that page and opening it up and reading their piece. You know, and my friends and family all wanted to buy the book to help me and to say that how proud of me they were. But a $100 book is a lot to pay for one poem that I could type up for them just as easily, you know.
Right.
So that was my first experience of being published. And then from there, I thought, well, I want an audience. You know, I want people to hear what I have to say. And so I started writing for a magazine. I thought, they have an audience. And I wrote this piece. I really wanted everybody to read it, and I ended up publishing it in the first issue of the newsletter. And it was called Thanks, Honey. And it was about how honey can help with migraines and headaches and burns and sore muscles and insomnia and just all these amazing things that they, it's not that honey can cure it, but anything that helps, helps, you know. But they couldn't publish that because there was someone advertising in the magazine that had something that helped headaches, supposedly cured headaches. And so they couldn't, why would that person advertise in the magazine if I'm writing about how they can help with honey? So there was the next trap that I found. You know, I can't really say what I want to say because it's going to affect the advertisers.
Well, there's that battle with holistic and medical again, too. We have in other parts of our life.
Exactly. And, you know, if it helps, it helps. And it wasn't written so much as, you know, it's going to cure, but anything that helps, helps when it comes to these things. And it's nice to have something handy in the camping box if you don't have the medicine, you know?
Right.
And so... then I think my final straw with the magazine is, like, every time I was writing to sell ads. That was why I was writing. You know, I'd write about skiing so that they could sell their, so that they could sell ads for the season, you know. And then there was this lady they gave me to write about that just, she really inspired me because she's an older lady and she would make these beautiful greeting cards. And then all the money that went to it, and she wrote all the poetry in it too, and all the money that she made off of it went to the Humane Society. And I was so inspired by it that I wrote this beautiful, beautiful article. And right in the middle of it, I talked about how card wasn't just a card. It was special. It was something that if you bought it and you gave it to somebody, the lady put so much work into it that that person would keep it forever. And you would, they'd open their special box and smell the air of their special box. And I'm sorry, I've got a mailman showing up. Oh, he's just dropping it off. Sorry about that.
Dinners, it's okay. Dinners, it's okay, ladies.
I'm so sorry about that.
That's what happens when we have, you know, radio shows that are nice with technology. We can call in from home and, you know, all that good stuff. But unfortunately, it does allow for the life around us to take hold too.
The dog doing a good job, right?
Yep, yep.
Oh, but the long story short, they cut out that piece that I had written to grab the audience. You know, I wanted to reach out and just grab their heart, you know, and they cut that out and just kept all the facts and all the information. And here I am, a writer. All I want to do is express myself. I have something to say to the world. I want them to hear what I have to say. And everywhere I go, it's just, I just feel trapped. You know, and I have all these really good pieces that I want the world to see, but I don't dare give it to anybody because they cut it apart. They don't give it an audience, and they're taking the rights to it. So I can't give it an audience, you know. And so I have all these amazing pieces collecting dust on the shelf, and all my kind of good pieces are going out there and trying to make something of themselves. And so that was kind of the next step for me. Then I just kind of stepped back and I started. Do you have any questions before I go into my next?
Yeah, go ahead. You're good.
We're good? Okay. So from there, now I have children. I'm not this little girl jumping up and down, clapping to syllables anymore. I'm doing that with my children. And I'm really into finding a more organic way of healing. And so I start researching it. And my dad always told me that if I want to follow something, if I want to learn about something, then to get a job doing it, because then it's like getting paid education. So I tried to get a job at this healing place down the way from this German gentleman who did a lot of more organic healing. He offered Western medicine, but then he also offered a more organic healing along with it. And I passed the first interview with the secretary and the doctor, and the next interview was with a preacher, and my spiritual beliefs were all pretty much raised on this mountain that I grew up by, and just being quiet in my own mind and believing what I felt was true in my heart, and I wasn't going to pretend to believe anything just for the sake of a job and for the sake of passing this interview. And I was very debateful back then, you know. And so we ended up debating more than interviewing. And he told me at the end that I just needed to walk with God. And I'm open, you know, the magazine is all non-denominational. We're open to any spirituality. So everybody's welcome to fill their own words in with the next part of my story, with the universe or oneness or the great spirit or whatever resonates with them is fine and wonderful for me. But I did go on this walk with God, and I went up to my mountain and I hiked up there, and I had a flower behind my ear, and it was this rose, and I was sitting on a cliff, and I had a brook babbling at my feet. And this bumblebee comes up, and it looks at me. I don't know if you've ever had this happen, but bees will come up, and they'll fly right in front of your eyeballs, like they're looking right into your eyes. And that's what this bumblebee did. And he looked right into my eyes, and then he started drinking from the rose behind my ear. And I thought, I wanted to flick it away just because that's that natural instinct to flick it away. But instead, I calmed myself, because I knew it was just a bee, a bumblebee, and I knew it was the last opportunity for this rose to pollinate itself. And so I sat there, and in that zen I heard a thought. I had a thought, and it was so loud. Some of my friends think that it was just my subconscious or just a really loud thought or the universe speaking to me, and my interpretation is that it was like the voice of God because it was so loud and so powerful. And that voice told me that the preacher was right and that he believed what he needed to believe so that he could heal the world. And I was right. And I believed what I believed so that I could do what I needed to do in the world. And I thought, how powerful is that? You know, here is two people who have completely different opinions, but we're both right. And we believe what we have to believe so that we can do what we need to do in the world. And I walked off the mountain. I started hiking up the mountain, and I started thinking, well, wait a minute. What do I need to do in this world? Why would I believe this? What do I need to do? What's my purpose, you know? And when I hiked away, I hiked through this valley. It's called Fern Creek Valley, and it's been part of my life ever since I was a little kid. And I had this, I put the pieces together, and I knew what I wanted to tell the world. And I knew what I wanted to say, and I came home and I wrote this this poem, and it took me 3 months to write it and perfect it, and it's my masterpiece. Would you like to hear it?
Sure. Let me just, again, just catch up on the timeline. You had said that at this point you are an adult already with your own family?
Yes.
Oh, this was still, okay. So we jumped forward on it. I just wanted to make sure on that. So it's been a long time after you actually started your initial writing. So, yes, we'd love to hear that.
Okay. Free at last from the shackles of winter, eagerly we set foot on our mountain. With heavy breath and dry lips, we trip through tangled brush, chasing the sound of a creek. The thicket opens to cliffs covered in moss. They tower above a fern tunnel, and center stage, a creek sparkles. Our shoulders hang in awe. Entering the tunnel was like feeling a whisper. A hush came upon us, a discovery unveiled. The sun peers through the ferns and dance in the creek's bottom. We cup our hands into the enlightened water, refreshing our souls. No wonder the ferns sway so well in the wind and the flowers perfume so sweet. We crept along her banks in stealth, spying on lizards who bathed in the sun till our cold bones longed for the same. With numbing fingers and waterlogged socks, we beat feet to the tunnel's destination, perching a view on a sunlit rock. Our excitement, it resonated with the creek and it echoed off the towering walls as we named her Fern Creek Valley. We vowed to visit her every spring. She was sacred. She was home. Then taken away. First, the long white fence. Behind it grew houses, a community well, and lush green grass. Hardly worth the sacrifice of Fern Creek Valley. Her plants died of thirst. The cliffs echoed. Silence. And I perch on my sunlit rock, gazing down at an empty valley. Through tear-laden lashes, I thought of all the white fences, all the green grasses. I pictured the creeks evaporate, and I felt my mountains ache. I was tempted to hate, and I was eager to blame, until inspiration caught my soul. I am of the lucky few to meet Fern Creek Valley and get to know her sacred soul before her waters were stolen. Handed to them through silver faucets, her clean water was sent down the drain to mingle in a cesspool. In anger and in frustration, I hiked my tears away, perching a view on a mossy cliff. I watched the vast horizon, and I could see it all. I could see my home. I could see all the houses crowded behind a white fence. I could see the sewer plant in the distance. And in that moment, I forgave them. They are unaware of their habitat suffering. They can only imagine what I appreciate. And I have faith in humanity. I believe that we are brilliant. An awareness is awakening in our minds, and our suffering earth is apparent. 130 years ago, we invented the light bulb. Look what we do with electricity now. If we can come this far in a lifetime and a half, where will our awareness take us in the next century? With numbing souls and waterlogged hearts, let's beat feet to the future's destination. Every drop of water that you save will sustain a life, a soul, a sacred place. Water will run through valleys. Plants will come back to life. Clean air will fill the lungs of bugs, lizards, and adventurous children. Nature can survive without us. We cannot survive without nature. And if you are feeling helpless, like these problems are too big, like you cannot make a difference, then you must know, good or bad, you already are. That's Fern Creek Valley by Christabel.
Oh. You know, it brings to mind a couple of things for me, I guess. You know, when I was a kid, I loved the Waltons, and I loved Little House on the Prairie and that openness. And, you know, I see your picture or your description, and I think of those TV shows that I watched, you know, and being able to just run in the openness. And that so much stuff is just building up, and there's not a lot of that open land anymore, you know, unless you really go out and away from things. And it's like you have a choice. You have no civilization, or you have all this built-up stuff. There doesn't seem to be much in between these days.
Yeah.
And I can just picture that, you know, that running around and rolling in the grass. And, you know, picking clover and sucking the honey out of it, like you were just kind of mentioning before, too, you know, have that camp gear. You know, and it reminds me, too, part of this is photography, too, and other words that we're going to get into with you. But for my final photo essay, I did an essay that was called Construction or Destruction. And, you know, a similar thing, and did it in kind of what you did in pictures. I like your words better, but, you know, but it was a similar thing. What happens to that openness in our land, and how do we get some of that back to be able to dream and, you know, just sit and smell the clean air and watch the wildlife and all of that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
spy on the lizards and
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I love that. So, losing that valley for you is obviously it made a difference in your life too. You know, when it did exist and losing that. So, thank you for sharing that.
And
so do you find
Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, have you found another place that inspires you like that?
I have. There's some ancient cedars up here, up by, like, the Pritchard area up in North Idaho, up by Murray and Pritchard and Kingston and Wallace. I don't know if you're familiar with any of those, but there's this place called the Ancient Cedars. And if you've seen the picture that you have with me with the flower and I'm hanging on that big root, is the Ancient Cedars, and they're just... they're just a magical place. Everybody I've ever taken up there, it's just magical, and you never see litter up there. It's like anybody that shows up in those woods, they can feel how amazing that is. And so you never find litter, you never see litter. You see little things that people make, like one of the things that have happened there are fairy, little fairy things that people build with rocks at the bottom of the trees, and they're just huge trees, and you can crawl inside of them, and yeah, so that would be a special place. And I found that really, you know, you can find nature anywhere. Even if you're in the city, you can look up in the sky, you know, you can always find something to be grateful for, which was a lesson for me, because when I moved out of the city and into town, which it's not a big city, but it's for me, you know, I just looked around and I was just like, I don't know, I was just kind of disgusted with everything. I was used to being able to have beauty all around me everywhere and nobody ever really looking at me or thinking about who I am and who I should be. So it was kind of a culture shock to go into the city where everybody thinks about who you're supposed to be and they're judging you and, you know, and having opinions of you, and then everywhere you look, it's not so pretty. But in that, I found love for humanity and love for people and love for the sky and for the little bushes that I'd walk by.
Nice. Okay, so what else inspires you? Oh, sorry, I jumped over your butt.
It's
go
okay.
Ahead.
I was going to go on with my finding my purpose story. So once I wrote the Fern Creek Valley, it was like, what do I do with this? You know, I don't dare give the rights away to this. This needs an audience. This needs a huge audience. You know, I want the world to see this. I want, if I can save one cup of water, then that's fantastic, you know? And so that's when I come up with the idea for Christabel's newsletter. I thought, what if I had a writing contest, and if when people won the writing contest, we'd give them editing advice. We wouldn't just chop it up. Our editors would say, you know, here's a really good writing trick that would, you know, you can use in your piece, and here's how it works. And they kept the rights to their work, so they could republish it. You know, we're not here to compete. We're here to inspire. We're not here to trap your work. We're here to give it a voice, you know, and then inspire. If we think it has the power of influence and the will to inspire, why would we tell you you can't publish it anymore? You know, how about you give us permission to publish it, and if you publish it somewhere else, we'll help you promote everywhere it's published, you know, so that it receives that audience. And so that's how Christabel's newsletter was born. And from there, you know, from there we've met all ages of people. And I've met so many people, and it's turned into where I can look at every person in the magazine or who's bought a subscription, and I can think about the story that we've had. You know, the story of when we met, how they've inspired me, how I've inspired them, and this, and how close we've become over time. And that would have never happened had I not been following this dream of what inspires you. You know, I would have just met them, and they would have been on their way, and I would have been on my way. But instead, we had this ability to have a symbiotic friendship where we both inspire each other on this path. And that's just such a powerful lesson in life, because if you take the time to get to know somebody, the chances are they have something that you've been wanting to learn. You know, it's just very ironic how I can ask, okay, I need to learn how to do, whether it's a graphic design thing I need to learn how to do, or a spiritual thing, or raising children trick. There's something that I'm seeking. I'm trying to find the answer to. And because I met that person and I gave them a chance to speak their mind and get to know them on a personal level, they had the answer I was looking for. And it usually turns out I have an answer that they were looking for. And so symbiotically, we can all grow together. You know, it's that oneness that so many people talk about just synchronistically happens in your life. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And that spans the ages too. You can learn from kids. Kids can learn from you. It doesn't matter the age or the experience. It is what the experience is that you can learn from, right?
Exactly. I love the way you say that, because it's in the experience. You know, it's that experience. And some of these things, I could read a few things that kids have written that are just amazing, amazing lessons that kids have. Like in our first issue, Jonathan, he is 9 years old at the time, and he wrote a poem called Mutual Benefits. It's raspberry, raspberry, what do you know? Give you water and watch you grow. Raspberry, raspberry, what do you know? give me nutrients and watch me grow.
Oh, nice.
Isn't that amazing? And it's a 9-year-old kid, and it talks about that symbiotic thing between a raspberry and a person.
Yeah, and you don't think of that. You really don't.
And he puts it so simply. I mean, I would have written a paragraph about that. I would have written another Fern Creek Valley to try to explain the symbioticness between human and plant. And he uses, what, 4 lines, and he has it absolutely nails it, you know.
Cool.
There's another one by a 7-year-old, and his name is Kai. And he even told me how the muse helped him with his purpose. So this is a good one. And it's in our spirit section, and it's called Everything. God is air, God is heart, God is water, God is energy, God is plant, God is flowers, God is dirt, God is everything. He has faith in us. By Kai the Guy, my best writing ever at 7 years old.
Wow.
How do you like that one?
Yeah, that is cool.
I like the way he says he has faith in us, because us as adults, we're always talking about our faith in God and our faith going up. And here's this kid saying, you know what? God has faith in us. You know, I love that. I just love that. I think it's profound.
Right. I mean, God tends to trust us with a lot of things. So, you know, we've got a call. No, we don't have a caller. Caller dropped off. Okay. I told her we'd give her about 20 minutes, and so I wanted to do that. But if she calls back, we'll try again.
That'd be wonderful. I told many of my friends to call in, and we can talk about how we've inspired each other. I also mentioned that anybody who calls in can get a free magazine. So if anybody calls in, feel free to stop me, because
okay.
I can use forever.
Well, if that person would call back in, we'll get you on the line. And when did you actually start the magazine then?
Let's see. I actually started a good 7-8 years ago with just thinking about it. And then Jake Noblig hopped in, and we got together once a week to just talk about the magazine, just to wish and dream for it to come about. And then we started working on the website. So it took a lot of years before it actually became a magazine. And our first magazine came out in 2010. And then so there's quite a break between magazines. The next one came out in 2012. And then our third issue is just about to come out. We're ready to put it out. We just need the money. It's not a lot of magazines get their money through selling their customer
mm-hmm.
list, and that's their money to print the magazine. And we promise to never buy or sell customer information. So the more people share and talk about the muse and invite their friends to express themselves, that's how we go to print. So it's a little slower, but I think it's building a better foundation, and it will speed up. It feels like it is speeding up right now. It's just exploding, so it's very exciting.
Okay, so why don't you tell us a little more about the magazine itself and how you set that up? Because I know you take contributors, you run the contest. So how do people take part in that?
Well, on our website is bellsmuse.com, and they just enter the writing contest. And once they're, then there's a whole set of runners-up, and when you're a runner-up, then you get advice from our editors, ideas from our editors, and then you accept or deny their ideas and make any final changes for the final entry. And then once you're a winner, then we put you in the magazine. Every piece in the magazine is a winner of our contest. So we're published 27 in this issue that's coming up, and 16 in the first issue. So we've grown quite a bit. Our photographer, Matthew McCoy, he takes pictures especially for the pieces. He reads the articles, and he takes pictures especially for them. And he's a brilliant photographer. And then we spend a lot of time setting it up. We have pages that people take out and frame and put on the wall. And so we really try to think of each page as a frameable piece, and we try to give each piece its, you know, we really try to showcase the work is what we do. We try to showcase the writing so that it draws the audience in. And so that when the writer opens up the magazine, even if they've been waiting a year and a half to 2 years to get published, they're still very proud of their accomplishment, and they're proud of being published.
Okay. And you do photography. Do you separate the poetry from prose, or what categories do you have on your...
Our categories, we like to have a versatile magazine, so we have poetry, we have longer stories, real-life stories, creative stories. We even have jokes and tidbits and experiments and mazes and, you know, anything you would like, we're open to. We just ask that it's good-natured and non-political and open-minded is what we look for. But our main topics are nature, energy, water, healing, spirit, kid tricks, open thoughts. There's some new ones that came about just because it seemed like our writers were all entering. You know, if we get a few writers that win for the same topic, then it becomes a topic like love and humanity. So it's just a very open-minded. We try not to limit people. We want our writers to express their genius and their way of expressing it. We just want to be respectful to the women and the children that read our book, our magazine, so we don't want to offend the moms. So we try to do things that are non-offensive to our audience.
Okay. Great.
And then our photography and art contest is kind of new. Every 3 months we choose a winner of for the photography and a winner for our art. And then the winners get published. We also make 10 limited edition prints of each one. And then the winning artist and photographer get four of the prints to give to friends and family. And then if you buy a subscription, then you can go through the prints that we have available from our winners and you get a free print with your subscription. And then all of the winners line up at the end. Before we publish the next magazine, they all line up and we choose a grand prize winner for the cover of our magazine.
Okay.
So the beautiful, stunning covers all come from our photo and arts contest.
Wow, nice. Okay. All right, let's see. People can subscribe to the magazine. They do that online also?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And they can also be a participant in it. So how do you, I know there's one thing you had like a 5-step thing you wanted to direct people on how to find their own muse as well as their own purpose.
Beautiful. The number one would be, I would say, find your inner child and inspire the children in your life. Because that's, if you think back to what excited you, like when I was little, I would do the math games, I wasn't excited. But when I was doing rhyming and syllables, I would jump up and down. I was just such an excited little girl, you know? And so if you look back at what excited you when you were really little, and you find that inner child, you'll still have fun with those things when you grow up. Like I remember in one of your shows, you were talking about puppeteering. And how you were interested in doing that again? And I thought that was a, you know, you can look back into your past and find that. And then the other one would be, I call it dusty shelves. It's taking those things off of the dusty shelf and expressing them. You know, giving them a voice. The things that are sitting back, whether it's just a thought in your head that you used to inspire you or something that's new. I have a perfect poem that is a good example of my dusty shelves theory. Are you still there?
I am.
Okay, good, good. And it's called To Be a Father. And the reason this is so perfect for the to explain the dusty shelves is this gentleman wrote his whole life, but nobody knew it. He never shared it. And one day he shared this poem with me, and he was very uneasy about entering the contest. And I even offered to pay the entry fee, and he said, you know, he didn't think he would win because he's seen what we publish, and he thought, there's no way I compare to that. And I said, no, this piece is amazing. You really should share it. And so he shared it, and it is our number one piece in this magazine. Everybody says, I ask them what their favorite piece is in the magazine, and it is always to be a father and dot, 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 you know? So that's the really cool thing is that he was the hardest to encourage to enter in the magazine, and he's the most popular piece. And it's called To Be a Father. Shall I read it to you?
Ah, I put you on hold. I put the mic, muted the mic. So yes, please go ahead.
Okay. Show discipline and respect. Always encourage the most promising talents, pushing them forward. Do not discourage them unless these talents are being set aside. Your faith in them is your strongest tool. Use it to create success in their life. Show them happiness, knowing that every day of life is truly precious. Be there for them and never turn your back, as they will never forget. Be their hero, so they will look up to you. They will be proud and in turn set an example for those to come. Love them to tears. If you can't, you're not a man yourself. Don't be afraid to show emotion. It proves you're truly human. If your child fails, so what? They can either get back on the horse or choose a whole new path. But let them choose. Each person is a whole world of individual interests. No matter how kind and gentle you would like to be, no matter how hard you try to be perfect, sooner or later you'll botch it all up and you're sure to mess with their life. You cannot protect them forever. From the depths of my heart, I confess my love, emotion, and pride. I would like my children to know I am and will always be Dad.
Hmm.
And that is amazing. And I just can't believe that, you know, I can see why it's the most famous, you know, it's the most popular piece. And a lot of people tear it out, frame it, give it to new dads, give it to their dads. It's even been handed out to kids of a father who passed away at the memorial. So it's been a really powerful message for the world, you know. And to think that it was hiding on a shelf, it was just collecting dust on a shelf for all that time. And to think how many things out there, how many ideas out there are just sitting back there not sure if they're good enough for the world to see. And they are, and they're brilliant, and they're wonderful, and the world should see them, you know. And I think that's what inspires me the most is to, some people are out there and they just keep going with their talent. Like there's Charlotte Foley Phillips. I don't know if you know her. How many of you know her? But she should be famous. She's an amazing artist, and she's just such a sweet and genuine person, and she has a huge following, and she's following her dreams, and she's following her passion, and that inspires me. And then on the other hand, we have the people who are following, who are doing it, but they're doing it in secret, and they're holding it aside, and nobody's seen it. And if they share it, you know, that moment where they share it, and someone else says, wow, that's wonderful, and then someone else says, wow, that's wonderful, and the next thing you know, that person is inspired and they're a writer, or they're, you know, the little girl that wrote about being a mud skipper wants to be an animal scientist. You know, it's just because she wrote an article about a mud skipper and then it got published. So I call step one is you're finding your inner child and inspiring the children in your life. And number two, I just call it dusty shelves. Take all those ideas that are just collecting dust that you're proud of and part of your heart and share it with the world. And then number three is synchronicity. You know, once you pay attention to synchronicity, if you see somebody who looks familiar or you're just attracted to and for some reason, there might be a reason for it. You know, if you talk about rocks with a spiral on them, and then all of a sudden you look down and there's a rock with a spiral on it, you know, that's just pay attention to those synchronistic moments, because that's really what's led me all the way here, is just thinking, that was ironic. Oh, that happened right now, you know, and it seemed like the more I followed path of my purpose and this path of my purpose of inspiring people, the more synchronistic life got, the more ironic it was that I met this person or that person. So I just believe that synchronicity would be step number three. And then step number four is dreaming and wishing, you know, just taking the time to dream and wish and imagine things happening, because it's so fun to do. And you really gain a lot of insight in yourself when you take the time to imagine, take the time to pretend. Okay, what if I made a magazine and you know, and they did all this and I did it all this way? Well, then eventually it happened. Just one step after another, it eventually happened, you know. And when it happened, I was prepared because I had already imagined. I had already pretended like it was real, you know. And so that sake of pretending, plus it's really fun to do, and it makes the whole experience of following your dreams funner, and following and finding your purpose funner when you're making wishes and then imagining things happening, because then you're in the experience, you know.
Right.
You're experiencing that moment, you know, ahead of time. You're experiencing it, and that's a lot funner than, you know, some of the housekeeping work that you have to do to make it happen, you know. And then I'd say the last step is remember that you have the will to inspire and the power of influence. Your every action creates an action. And so if you choose, you know, good actions, then it's going to lead you there. I planted trees as my dream for a while. I was a photographer for a little while. I had done a lot of dreams. It was like, by the time the magazine came, everybody was like, oh, a new dream. Okay, what are you doing now? You know? But eventually one will stick. You know, you'll find out that all those little dreams that seemed like didn't happen, or they seemed like that you failed at them. It wasn't that you failed at them. It's just that they only inspired you to a certain point. You know, and then you go to the next bout of inspiration until it gets to the next, so it doesn't inspire you anymore. And pretty soon you'll have this idea that from your whole soul, it just expresses you, who you are, what you've always wanted. It's your chance to be you, you know, and everything that you've thought you failed at in the past was actually a success, because you learned something that you need to learn so that you can follow that ultimate goal.
Yeah, and I've looked at my path along the way, and I actually, one of my writings that I'm looking at eventually to publish is I got here, why? And I go back and I look at, you know, had I not met this person or been in this situation or walked in a wrong church, or, you know, this person got out of my life, or this person came in my life, you know, these other things wouldn't have happened the way they did to bring me to the moment I am now. And it's like, I look back at that road, you know, and like you said, there's a lot of these, oh man, that just sucked. That, you know, that was awful an experience. And yet, but if it wasn't there, the other good stuff that followed it wouldn't have been there either. So, you know, I like the way you put that, you know. Had you not experienced that, the white fences coming up and destroying that valley, as much as it was awful and it took that away from you, look at the beautiful piece that came out of that, that now is what you call your masterpiece, and, you know, something that is just your pride and joy. So.
Mm-hmm. It is. And, you know, Fern Creek Valley, it might not have the creek, but everything came back. You know, everything just, the habitat just changed. It was just an adjustment phase, and now I go up there with the kids, and we have big rocks that are slides, and birch trees are our flagpoles, and it just changed, you know.
Cool.
I didn't really believe it.
Right. That's neat. Well, we have a couple of callers on the line for you.
Very nice.
I'm going to bring them in, and you know, they've got questions about finding purpose, and they want to expand on this topic a little bit more with you. So I'm going to bring on Marie first of all. Hello, Marie. Welcome to Purpose Talk Radio.
Hi. I want to tell Krista that I really relate to what you're saying. I mean, it's like you're talking about me. It's kind of interesting.
Oh, beautiful.
In many, many, many ways. And I guess my question has to do with I have so many ideas that they go in various directions. And I've lived a very experiential life, but I don't have any pieces of paper to back me up. And it seems like it's constantly stopping me. And lots of things on the dusty shelves. But again, it doesn't feel cohesive. And when I've tried things, they work in some elements, but they're not sustaining me financially. And it seems like in the arts, that's kind of a hard thing to have occur, especially at this time in the world. So I guess my question would be, what would your commentary be on that, and how did you, it sounds like you also had various experiences that may not have appeared to be cohesive. So how did you pattern that, or did you just let the universe have it all and fall into place and have patience? Because that's what I'm being told, but it's very challenging to do that for a long period of time.
I very much relate with what you're saying because of the time and the patience. Like, I'm always pushing the magazine. I want it to go out now. I want the world to see it now, and it's working at it. I call the magazine the muse. She works at her own pace, you know, and there's not a lot that I can do about it. But what really inspired me when I feel that way, what inspires me is this piece in the magazine by Chris Wong Sik Hong. He writes a blog called Analog Zen, and in our second issue, he has this article called What Are You Asking For? And it was like, have you heard of manifesting or the law of attraction or the secret?
Yeah.
And it takes it to kind of the next level about why are you asking? Why are you asking for what you're asking for? Because we have different reasons to wish or to want. And some of the reasons are like it's because it's a habit. You know, it's not so much that it's right for you. It's more of a habit that you, a habitual thing that you want.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Let me just read pieces of the article so that it would help. So you have, like, your habitual thoughts, and these are the thoughts which color your view of the world. And then you have your habitual emotions. And then he says, have you ever watched people when they don't know that they're being watched? Some frown all the time, even when nothing's going wrong. They're angry. That means that their trained emotions, which are quite powerful, are asking to the universe to keep making them angry. Some people are always sad, which is the same as asking the universe to continue with sorrow. And some people happily smile, asking the universe to bring joy into their lives. And then there's the physical drives and desires, and that's what you need. That's companionship, accomplishment, food, and there's a river which feeds the lake. And now that I think about it, I can, since you called in, you get a free magazine. So if you want to look me up afterwards, I'll send you the magazine and I'll bookmark this article for you. But basically what he's saying is that, you know, finding out, thinking about why you're wanting what you're wanting and what's in the way of it is a very powerful thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of what held me back is I just wasn't ready, you know. I just wasn't ready. I had single mom, and I had a lot on my plate, single mom, full-time job, magazine that I'm trying to go international, and I just had so much on my plate that everything kind of progressed slowly. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, it just came into being. Is this helping you any? Do you have more questions?
Well, I know, yeah, I know what you're saying. So it's pretty much, because I've done a lot of what you said, and it's very good advice. And it probably is just not my timing.
Right.
It's something I'm, you know, struggling with because it's been years, and I've had different things occur that have gone to where I thought was the right path, and then something changes. This last time I had a business in my health. Caused me to have to close. So now I'm re-looking at what do I do? I have no income, and this has been going on for a while. So, you know, when the world comes into play, it just makes it more challenging. And when you go talk to people to try to assist, they're looking at it from a worldly point of view, saying, well, you can't make any money at that. And, of course, the first thing I hear from anyone that is interested in the arts or has any creative ability is you can't make any money at that. And that's not obviously what you want to put out there. And I don't believe that, but it is very challenging to find those that can assist in how you can.
Exactly. And is it art? Is it like an art? Are you an artist?
I'm a writer.
You're a writer? Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, you know, do you feel that trapped feeling that I was talking about where it's like, where do I express myself? Where do I go with it?
Yeah, what you talked about in the beginning as well as several other things. But, yeah, when you said that about working for others, and a lot of it, too, is as a writer, you're working more than three-quarters of the time to find work. You're not working to do the work. You're not expressing yourself and finding a venue for it. You're always having to look for that venue. And then, as you say, it's changed. You know, you put forth your heart and soul into it, and they change it, they cut it, they change, you know, they just decide, no. You know, they pay you a little stipend and say, well, we just decided not to print any of it. And it's very disheartening.
Well, I'd love to read your work. And I'd love to, I think you'll just love being part of the Muse because there's so many people in there that are, you know, we're all trying to do the same thing. We don't believe in the starving artist. We don't believe in the starving writer. And if we all support each other, this is my vision. I don't so much have the answer as much as I just have this vision that, you know, when it's time for me to get something, I've people shop. This is my theory. I people shop. So when it comes time for the holidays or someone's birthday or just as a gift of gratitude for somebody, I people shop. Instead of going to a corporation, I will go to Charlotte Foley Phillip or Angel Engel or, you know, I'll go to some artist and buy a print that's perfect for someone or I'll go to one of the crafty people and buy a craft or I'll, you know, buy a poem off somebody to put on a card, even though I'm not really keeping the rights to it. You know, but I'll just offer them some money for the card. And I'm a people shopper, and I'm seeing so much more of that right now. And I think that's what, if all of us artists and all of us writers and all of us little businesses trying to go out and create this influence in the world, if all of us team up together and we all shop within each other, you know,
mm-hmm.
I think that could solve the starving artist and the starving writer thing.
I agree. In fact, that's the business I just closed that had to do with all local artists, and everyone had to upcycle. So everything was junk and turned into beautiful art, and it was supporting all the local artists, and it was
oh, that's beautiful.
So,
yeah.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate your help, and I look forward to reading your magazine and hopefully maybe even staying in contact via email.
Oh, that'd be beautiful. If you look me up, I'm all over Cindy's page. Just let me know was it Marie or Mary? I'm sorry.
Marie.
So let me know you're the Marie that called in, and I'll send you a message. I'll get your address, and I'll send you a free copy of the magazine for calling in.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Marie.
Have a wonderful day.
Great.
You too.
Thanks, Marie. You can keep listening on the phone if you want. And just hit one after I put you back on mute. Okay. Thanks for calling in. And we have, on the other line, we have Lindsay. So I'd like to bring Lindsay in on the call. Hello, Lindsay. Welcome to Purpose Talk Radio.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm actually, if you don't mind, Marie, the very first caller that you guys had spoke with, you know, if you don't mind me just pitching in before I ask my question here in regards to kind of backing off of something that she was saying, you know, one thing that I find the biggest, or I guess you could say the scariest thing about, you know, a lot of showing your work is either you're afraid of judgment or you're afraid of failure. So a lot of people, like, especially with writing and stuff, I mean, honestly, a lot of people don't want to bring that to a lot of public eye or don't know what to do with it, I think, because of judgment or failure. So, Christy, if you don't mind me asking, I mean, what would you say your advice would be if you are afraid to fail or you know, afraid that, you know, that maybe what you do isn't good enough?
If you share it with enough people and if you listen, you'll find that you'll get a lot of the same criticisms over and over again. With my poetry, I would get a lot of the same criticisms. Now, some people were just rude, and they just hurt my feelings, and I didn't want to listen to them because they hurt my feelings. Some people, like my mom, would say, oh, I just love this line. It's absolutely beautiful, and I love it. Now, how about, and then she would, you know, or what does this line mean? I don't get it, you know, and she would put it in a way where I was open and I was understanding what her critiques were. So it's those criticisms that can really help you grow. It's those criticisms. If it wasn't for criticisms, Fern Creek Valley wouldn't reach anybody's heart or soul, because I wouldn't have put smells and feelings and sounds of feelings of whispers in there. You know, it's just a matter of the people that are mean about it have probably look at them and think, well, they've probably been, people have been mean to them in the past, and that's how, you know, maybe that's how their parents treated them when they tried to express their genius, poor thing, you know, and just really try to find the people who are there for you and who will back you up and who will help you along the way and inspire you, you know. Focus on the good. It's where your focus is.
You know, and sometimes, you know, especially with writers, for instance, like, okay, so I am actually a, you know, cake decorator to do a specialty cake, and I am just starting off my business, and I put a lot of my artwork, and I do utilize your page, your Facebook page, in regards to, you know, advertising for, you know, good-natured businesses and those types of things, which is fantastic. But, like, with the writers, given that I can do that even as a, you know, even though I'm not a writer, but I do other type of work and can still kind of be part of what you do, the thing is what about finding different sources? Like, for instance, for people that do write but aren't sure about getting their information out, but, you know, there are other ways also, you know, not only advertising it in, you know, in the magazine, but also, you know, have you guys ever, like, for instance, for the last person that was speaking, maybe putting that type of, like, some of her work on, like, a bookmark and maybe giving it out, you know, to, you know, maybe, like, local bookstores and those types of things. Now, okay, there may not be a lot of money in it, but that would be a start.
Yeah, that would be a wonderful start. And, you know, there's always, like, going to local events is a wonderful way to meet people. I mean, really the biggest trick to selling your business would be to meet people, and anything you can do to go out and to meet people and to talk about what you do and get it heard and get it out there. And, you know, the opportunities will just kind of come on their own as soon as you start throwing it out there.
What do you feel that your biggest impact, I guess you could say, when it comes down to meeting or source of being able to talk to different people, what is the source that you use the most?
The source is in the moment. If I'm walking through Hastings and I start talking to somebody, then that's the moment. I enjoy doing events, like going to local events and I enjoy Facebooking, and I'm starting a blog. Mostly it's just in the moment, just getting the word out to everyone, everything. If I run into somebody and they start talking about an event, well, maybe that's a sign that I should go to that event. But I am kind of like put my arms, just stand on the edge of the cliff, put my arms out and soar, you know, and hope that, and just see what happens and watch the path come to me and have faith in that path, you know. So where some people like to plan it out, I think it really depends on your business. Like with a cake decorating business, you know, I've seen your cakes. They're adorable. So really the best thing for you to do is show off your cakes, you know,
but
and have people
fearful,
taste your cakes.
But, like, if you kind of have a fearful of you know, presenting what you can do and receiving that negative impact, or afraid of, you know, maybe, you know, getting ahead of yourself and, you know, setting everything up and then, you know, failing maybe getting your word out, but what if you're kind of afraid to talk to people about what you do? What would you recommend?
Practice. That's what I would recommend, is practice. Because, I mean, even right now, I was so nervous about getting on this radio show. You know, I've never done a radio show on the phone, and I love this radio show. I have listened to the archived events, and I have listened to so many people that have helped me so much, and I just wonder, am I going to be able to, you know, am I going to be able to inspire the world on this radio show the way I've been inspired? And I had the butterflies in my stomach, and I've been talking about it and thinking about it for days. What am I going to say? What am I going to do? And I was scared, but I did it anyway. And
I hope I don't do that to people. You know, it's being your purpose, just being yourself. And you're saying the same thing to her right now. Just be yourself no matter what you're doing and express who you are. And I think that's a big thing for all of us.
So, like, show
yeah.
your passion, basically, and
yeah.
people will see that.
Right.
The world
will
see
it. And, yeah, if you express what is important to you in whatever manner, somebody's going to get something from it. Like we were saying before, you don't have to be the most expert person out there for someone to get something from you. You just have to find some way, or they have to find some way to relate to you. And there's going to be someone
oh.
out there.
Mm-hmm. And there are. Lindsay, I have watched your cakes. Your cakes are amazing. You know, and people love your cakes. I've just, so everybody knows, Lindsay's advertising in our next newsletter. It's called Tipsy Lou's Specialty Cakes, and I've been buying her cakes for my children and their birthday parties. And these cakes are the hit of the party. The kids are like, wow. We've had zombie ones for one of my children. We've had SpongeBob cakes. She's truly amazing cake artist. And we all have that fear. One time I had a speech, and I advertised it. It was in Sandpoint. I spent like months writing my speech. I invited a bunch of people, and I showed up, and nobody was there. Nobody showed up. It was a free event, and nobody showed up. My first speech, and nobody was there. And you know what? I do speeches, and people show up now.
Well, thank
I didn't
you so
fail.
Much for the advice. I do appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Lindsay.
I'll let you get to your next caller. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll put you back on hold and hit 1 so you get out of the queue, and we'll put you back on. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Okay, for anyone else who would like to call into the show, again, the number is 347-205-9074, 347-205-9074. And I don't see anybody chatting in the chat room. There are a bunch of people sitting there, but hopefully some of them will come back on. And I don't see anybody responding in on Purpose Talk Radio Conversations either, which is fine. So, there's a topic that I want to touch on that I know impacts some people, and it's totally away from what I think you were planning to talk on. So hopefully it's okay. And that would be issues of copyright, you know, and I think, I don't know if, actually if it was Marie or Lindsay that brought it up, kind of, you know, it's like the fear to show people this stuff. And, you know, do people have to worry about somebody, you know, obviously you're not, you know, you're only taking, there's a certain kind of contract that you sign with folks that says they can keep their rights and that kind of thing. But, you know, sometimes people are hesitant to show their things because they're afraid somebody else is going to steal it, or, you know, it's their pride and joy. And they don't want, like they said, they don't want that feedback. But on the other hand, they don't want somebody to think it's so great that, you know, they can't do something with, you know, somebody else will take it instead. So how do you get around that kind of an issue? I think we just lost her. Well, okay, I'm going to stall here a little bit in the hope that Krista calls back, because right now we lost the phone call. And there she is. Hello, Krista.
Hello, sorry about that.
That's okay.
Sometimes if I smile
if
too big, my phone hangs up on me.
Uh-oh.
I have to be careful.
So I don't know if you heard the question or you need me to repeat that for you.
Yeah, I heard the copyrights. People are afraid to share their...
And we lost her again. Okay. Well, I guess one of the things that I'll have her expand on it a little bit, but I know some of the things, even from being a songwriter and a writer as well, that when I do some of these things, you know, I want to make sure that somebody else doesn't steal my wonderful idea and, you know, with it and make money or publish it somewhere else and take the credit. And the things are that, you know, if you can prove that you've done it first, you know, with digital ways of recording things nowadays, you know, if it's in your computer, you've got to, that you can't amend, you know, you can't backdate things. We used to be able to when we could program in BASIC and some of those older languages on program on computers, but now we can't do that. You know, so if you've got it in your computer and you've got the date on it, you know, you're able to prove in a court of law that it was yours, you know. And if you keep your old versions of things, it gives you the opportunity, too, to say, well, okay, this is mine. Look at how many versions this went through. And, you know, somebody else that says, well, this is perfect the first time. You know that's not going to be right. So that's one of the things I know we look at is at our songwriter meetings, too, and talk about. Okay, well, we still do not have Krista back on the line. I wonder if she had a battery go bad or something that is out. I know she is also, she was having her Facebook up, so I'm going to try and see, take a look here and see if we got her back there and see what we can do. Otherwise, I don't know what else we'd want to talk about today. I'd like to review some of the things that Krista did say here. In a summary that she, you know, she looked at five steps that we can take to be able to find our purpose and our vision and our own muse in ourselves. The first one being to find your inner child and or, you know, find what inspires you as just like you were when you were a child, and find children who inspire you as well, because that playtime, that imagination can really help. The other was the dusty shelf. Take off the shelves those things that you used to want to do and that used to be part of your life. Those things that you pushed aside, and why did you push them aside? Take a look at that and bring them back into your life now. The other is the third one is a synchronicity. Pay attention to those opportunities that come in front of you and those things that are, you know, just fall into place. Or it seems so ironic, you know, when you're talking about something and suddenly, you know, that person appears in front of you, or you're talking about a situation and then you see it on TV and, you see a book about it, and those are the things that you want to follow and be, you know, bring back into your life. The fourth is dreaming and wishing. Because we all have dreams. We all have dreams from our childhood, from our adulthood, from our teens. And if we keep picturing those things and we put out that intention, it's pretty likely we'll be able to find a way for them to happen. And then, of course, the fifth one is to remember that you have the power to inspire and the will for it to happen. And those five things did come from Krista as ways to find your own purpose and find your inner muse. As far as I'm concerned, everyone does have a muse. We're all an artist of some kind. We just have to find what that medium is that inspires us and with that which we can inspire the rest of the world. And sometimes it takes a long time. Sometimes it just will pop into your head. I think both of our callers were saying they've been through their own journey of thinking things were going to happen and things were going to make money, and they didn't necessarily do that at the time. But now they can look back on some of those, maybe bring some of those things back into the present time. Maybe it didn't make money then, or maybe it didn't inspire the world back then because it wasn't the right time. Maybe now is the time. Maybe not. But if we go through these five steps, we may discover that the more we focus on who we are and what we're meant to do, we look at those five steps and we go through them again and see how the things that we want to have happen can happen. So we have Krista back one more time.
Hello.
Hello.
Sorry that took so long. I had a long explanation. I don't know how much happened.
It didn't get in there at all. You were on once and it kicked off right away. So.
Okay. Would you like me to try to explain copywriting again, or did you want me to go over?
Sure.
I'm not sure.
If you'd like to go ahead, that would be fine. I said a little bit about, you know, do poor man's copies, keep the versions on your computer, those kinds of things. But you probably have a little more detail on that because you work contracts.
Right. The copywriting is fairly simple. You can either mail something to yourself, certified mail, in a vanilla envelope, mail your work to yourself, and have the mailman make sure he knows to stamp the date on all the seals of the envelope. So if you ever need to prove it's yours, it's a sealed envelope with a date on it that has your writing within it, or your art, or your music. And if you want to do it through a certified copyright, well, then you can, then you go to copyright.gov, and you can do it for $35. You can copyright everything that you have. And you can even share copyrights if you're a band. Then you can share the copyright with all of the band members. And so it's really simple to do, and it doesn't cost very much. So if anybody ever tries to charge you $150 for a copyright or to get it into the National Library, then just go ahead and do it yourself because it's only $35.
Yeah, big difference.
Yeah.
And that can be
published puts it in domain puts it in kind of a domain copyright. So if you're published in, like, if we were to publish you and then later someone were to take it, well, then we can always go back and go, well, at this date, you know, she published her work.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't know. Is there any other area that you wanted to touch on today with us?
Let's see. I wanted to say, oh, I think we're good. I think the cover of the magazine's the grand prize winner of our photography and arts contest. So just be really happy. And I just would love to meet anybody who comes our way. And if anybody wants to order the magazine or enter the contest, and they hear about it on the show,
if they could let me know they hear about it on the show, and then I'll donate a dollar from every order we get off the show, even if it's a year from now, someone listens to the archived event. If they put Purpose Talk Radio on there or referred by Cindy Freeman, then I will donate a dollar to the Purpose Talk Radio show for every order that we get.
Wonderful. Thank you. We appreciate that.
Thank you. I appreciate your radio show.
Okay. All right. And then we would like to let people know again, we did a couple ways that people can get a hold of you. You'd like to share that as well?
Well, we have our website, which is bellsmuse.com, B as in boy, E-L-L-S as in Sam, M as in mouse, U-S-E. So bellsmuse.com is our website. If you look up Bells Muse on Facebook, you can find us there as well. It's K or K-R-Y-S-T-A for the first name and Bell, B-E-L-L for the second name. And I'll make sure to make comments in Purpose Talk Radio Conversations so people can meet me there. And on the Purpose Talk Radio blog, I'll leave some comments there so people can meet me. And if you'd like to call, my phone number is 208-625-0885. Leave a message, and I will call you back as soon as I can give you my full attention. I have children, so sometimes they want my full attention, and they get it because they're kids.
Yes. Yes.
But I'm always happy to call back. And we have many groups. When you meet me on Facebook, you can enter the contest and share that way. There is an entry fee, so if you're not quite ready for that and you'd like to get to know us better, we have a group for, it's called Bell's Muse Word Expression, one for photo arts, another one for promoting good business. We have another one that's just for fun. It's Sparkle, Giggle, Shine, and we just sparkle, giggle, and shine in there. So when you meet me, if you'd like to be part of any of those groups, let me know, and I'll be happy to introduce you to everybody.
Okay. And you said there is an entrance fee for the magazine?
There is, for the writing contest. Right now it's only $10. So for $10 you get free editing advice and published and letters of recommendation as well to help springboard your success. And then, the price will go up once the next issue comes out. But right now it's only $10 to enter. And a lot of times if someone can't afford that, then they can put, hey, I want to enter the contest. Anybody willing to sponsor me? And usually there's someone who loves your writing or loves your art and is happy to throw a couple dollars your way to help make it work.
And again, any age, any genre, as long as it's family friendly.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's that. Perfect.
Great. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your being my guest today. And
me too. I've had fun.
To
very nice.
connect more in person because, like you said, you know, again, that Facebook and that connection there, it's been a couple years on that, you know, that we've connected on the various things and watched, you know, like you said, some of the people that have participated in your magazine have participated in the various groups. So it's kind of fun to, you know, get to hear those read live instead of just reading them myself too, which is kind of it's different. You know, reminds me, like you said, bring back that inspiration of kids. You know, I used to love being read to as a kid. So, you know, maybe, you know, people that have other people in the household, maybe that's one of the ways to share the magazine too and share your own work is to actually read it to somebody instead of having them read it. Because then you get the pieces that are the emotion into it too. Maybe that's another avenue of your magazine up the road, might be an audio one for those who are visually challenged. Just a thought.
I like that. I love that because remember that gentleman that was on not too long ago?
Yep, the blind gentleman.
That was so inspiring. And that I've been thinking about that ever since then. It would be neat to have an audio version of our muse, and we could be real artistic about the way we read it, you know, because I read these to the kids as nighttime stories. There's some really good bedtime stories in here for kids, and I love that idea.
Okay. see. Yeah. And how what's the size of the magazine generally?
I'm sorry?
What's the size of the magazine? Like, how many pages are you trying to, are you shooting for?
Well, we have, our first issue was only 12 pages, and then our next magazine was 32, and the one coming up is 36. So we just keep okay. growing. And what's really nice is we put, you know, with a lot of magazines, the content is really spread out throughout the ads, and you'll start reading an article, and you'll have to move to page whatever to get the rest of your article. And ours just has so much excellent content in it that, you know, we really have a lot more content, even though you can compare us to like a 72-page magazine and compare our table of contents. And, you know, we have a lot more articles, a lot more poetry, a lot more pieces than the bigger magazines, just because we are so straightforward with our audience and so straightforward with everything that we don't have to waste as much paper to get express our genius, you know.
Okay. So it's a hard copy or is it a digital magazine?
It's a hard copy.
Okay.
And in the future, we'll have, like, you'll be able to get the older issues digitally. I think that would be a really good idea. We're just
all
not
right.
there quite yet.
There you go. All right. Great. I thank you again. And if there's nothing else, I will put you back on hold so you can listen to the end of the show. I'm just going to wrap things up here. And that
okay,
will
wonderful.
Be that for today. Thanks, Krista.
Thank you again.
All right, folks. Thank you very much to all of you who have listened to us today. Again, this is Purpose Talk Radio, January 27th. I am Cindy Freeman, your host. We air every Monday at noon Pacific time, 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern, 8 o'clock over in the U.K. We'd love to have you join us. We also would like to have you continue this conversation over on Facebook at Purpose Talk Radio Conversations. If you have anyone that you know of that would make a guest for our show, our mission is to find people who are living their purpose, whatever that may be, and however long they've been doing it. Allow them to share how they came to know it was their purpose, how they came to, and what they can suggest to other people. It's simple as that. You can take a look at who our past guests have been by going to PurposeTalkRadio.com, which is the website. And there are archives to our previous shows, as well as the bios to our previous guests. If you wish to reach me directly, you can do so. My email is cindy@purposetalkradio.com. Also, if you'd like to sponsor a show and have your business promoted on the website, on our Facebook pages, and on the air throughout the week, you can do so through the website. Let me know. Or find me on Facebook, both at Cindy Freeman and at Purpose Talk Radio or Purpose Talk Radio Conversations. You can send messages through that as well. And I think that is pretty much it for our show. Our theme song is by True Trinity. It's called I Am Who I Am. Jillian Clark, Rachel Martinez, and myself are the co-writers on that. You can find them at TrueTrinity.com. And next week, our guest will be from On Purpose Networking for Women. That would be a Facebook page, as well as it is a networking group out in Maryland. Our guest will be Jenny Robertson. So you'll be finding more about her through the week as I can make those posts. So again, thank you for calling. I hope that you all are living your purpose every day, every hour. And for now, I wish you all soul blessings.
I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. I am me. I am who I am, I am who I'm gonna be. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny. Walking in the spirit, moment by moment, fulfilling my own destiny.